thank you for tuning in to the radio ministry of Clearview Church. At Clearview, our focus is making Christ visible and providing an atmosphere of worship and community. Come check us out at 3485 Oxford Road in Henderson, or visit us online at clearviewbc.org. Now join us for this week's message by Pastor Abadan Shaw.
I don't know about your kids, but our kids love to hear stories about Nicole and I growing up. They love hearing about how Mom loved climbing trees. You won't believe that when you saw her singing over here. And she loved walking on top of the swing set. Not swinging on it, she loved climbing on the top beam and walking across. Ask Nicole on the way out today, if you see her, say, "Why did you do that?" They love hearing stories about how I, when I was 5 years old, wanted to join the circus. Went to a circus, came home, brother and I, we said, "I think we can join the circus." He said, "Absolutely we can." Just like, you know, how they balance each other on the palm of their hand. He said, "Come right up here, buddy. I'll balance you." He held me there for maybe like 0.2 seconds or something like that. I fell, broke my collarbone, and that kind of ended my circus career. Now, I want you to think with me for a moment. All those things happened. They are in the past tense. When we were young, we were foolish, we were not mature. But what if you left the church this morning and looked across the parking lot on the swing Nicole was walking across the top beam? What if you saw me trying to balance myself and join the circus? It would be crazy. You see, all those things are fine, but when you mature, when you grow up, things change. Not that your life becomes boring, but you begin to do things differently. This morning, we're going to look at this message, and I love that image that Ryan made, on parents behaving badly. I've been pastoring for 18 years. This has been my first and only church. And there have been times, not all the time, but there have been times when I've had teenagers and even adults in their 30s, 40s sit in my office and say, "I don't know what to do. My parents do things that are so wrong. They're living a lifestyle that is so crazy. They're making decisions that are so embarrassing." Unfortunately, we're going to see that more and more. Today's message in our series on the family is going to help us understand what to do about parents behaving badly. I'm pretty sure you've never heard a message like this before, but it's in the Word of God. It's coming from the Bible. If you have your Bibles, turn to Genesis chapter 38. Let's all stand together. Now, in the process of time, Judah's wife died, and he went up to his sheep shearers at Timnah, and it was told Tamar. Tamar was Judah's daughter-in-law. It was told her, "Look, your father-in-law is going up to Timnah to shear his sheep." So she took off her widow's garments, covered herself with a veil, and sat in an open place which was on the way to Timnah. When Judah, father-in-law, saw her, he thought she was a harlot, a prostitute, because she had covered her face. Then he turned to her. By the way, God has appointed parents to lead their children. He has designed them to be emotionally more mature than their kids. He has called parents to be the standards of morality and integrity for their children. God has entrusted parents to be the spiritual guides for their children. This is God's standard. As I mentioned earlier, more and more we are seeing parents who are emotionally unstable. Morally, they are objectionable. And spiritually incapable of leading their children. In many situations, what I'm seeing as a pastor is that kids are more mature than the parents. It is reversing God's design for the family. Now, many of you come from good homes. This weekend's message is kind of different because many of y'all may come from families where mom and dad took you to church, where they prayed for you. They were not perfect people, but they tried to do things right. So today's message is going to be like, thank God for my family. Thank God for giving me good parents. So praise God for that. But I can guarantee you, there are people here this morning who can't say that. Do you admire your parents or are you ashamed of them? Do you know Christ as your Savior? As I walk through the message, examine your heart, and then think about your parents or adults in your life. Do they know Christ? Are you really sure? Because if they don't, then pray for them to be saved. So let's walk through this message, what to do when adults, especially parents, behave badly. Give you the context first. For those who are visiting with us, we are in a series on the family from the book of Genesis. We're looking at the family of Abraham and Sarah and the decisions they made, good decisions, bad decisions, and the consequences of those decisions on later generation. Now we come to the fourth generation, the family of Judah. Now Judah was Jacob and Leah's third son. You know, Jacob had 12 sons from, unfortunately, two wives and two concubines. In this message, we're going to see him, as you already heard in the scripture passage, he's going to make a horrible decision. Why did he have sexual relations with his own daughter-in-law? And on the flip side, why would his daughter-in-law do something so shameful as to trick her own father-in-law into sleeping with her as a prostitute? What in the world is going on? Now, before I get into the message, let me say something real quickly. This is how you know the Bible is the Word of God. This is how you know that this is the truth, because it doesn't sugarcoat, it doesn't gloss over the failures of its heroes. I mean, this morning we're going to look at a very embarrassing fact in the life of Judah. Who was Judah? Did you know that Judah is the father of the Jewish people? Israel, or Jacob, had 12 children. All the tribes except for Judah and Benjamin were dispersed. The only tribe really remaining is the tribe of Judah. That's how you get the Jewish people. That's why we don't say Israelites, we say Jewish people. This is the father of the Jewish people. God did not sugarcoat it, and the people did not take it out of scripture because it was embarrassing. This is how you know this is the Word of God. Amen. To understand this, we have to back up to the opening verse in Genesis chapter 38, verse 1. It's on the screen. It says, "And it came to pass at that time that Judah departed from his brothers." Why did he depart from his brothers? Why did he leave his family camp and move away? If you know the context, in chapter 37, we read about Joseph, Judah's brother, younger brother, altogether 12. But Joseph began to have dreams. The dreams were that one day he was going to be a ruler and all the brothers were going to bow before him. Of course, this made the brothers mad. And when the opportunity came, they tried to kill him, but one brother talked the others out of killing Joseph and selling him into slavery. Guess who that brother was? Judah. Judah is the one who, I believe, felt, hey, listen, sell him away, at least the blood would not be on our hands. But can you imagine the guilt and the shame Judah had to live with? I can imagine he could still hear the shrieks and the cries of young Joseph as the Midianite traders were taking him away. Now, Judah had good intentions, I believe, but still imagine selling your brothers and a group of thugs come right in front of you and they say, okay, here's the deal, we got it, he's ours now. And they're grabbing him, they're probably slapping him, they're probably punching him, kicking him, and they're tricking. Judah, I believe, had that imagery, that movie being played over and over and over again. And then come home and tell that to their daddy, and his daddy begins to weep and cry. You know, he would not be consoled. And day in and day out, he has to see his daddy's face and the tears in. I can imagine Judah feeling some days, I'm just going to tell him, because we got to tell him the truth. We lied to him. And the other brothers stop him and say, you better not. I believe Judah was probably angry, depressed, and miserable. And one day he said, I'm done. I got to go. If I don't go, I'm going to lose my mind. That's why I believe he departed from his brothers. You know, it's the same thing that people do even today. What they think is this. If I just change my location, nothing wrong with going away, but here's the problem. You can go to the other side of the moon, but you are still the common ingredient in all your problems. You are the one. Listen to what David says in Psalm 32, verse 3. He said, when I kept silent, my bones grew old through my groaning all the day long. You know, when you have unconfessed sin in your heart, when you have this hidden dirty secret, just like Judah did, that we sold our brother. He may be getting abused right now. Folks, people were evil back then too. He may have been killed already. He may have changed his religion. When you are living with that shame and that guilt, it's just like this. Listen to verse 4. David says, for day and night, your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was turned into the drought of summer. Secret guilt will only lead to ceaseless grief regardless of your location. You can move anywhere you want to. It will still be with you. So what did Judah do after he moved away? Well, of course, he got married. He's thinking, at least I need someone in my life. And by the way, you know what's interesting in this? Abraham loved Sarah. Isaac loved Rebekah. Jacob loved Rachel. When it comes to Judah and his wife, not only is her name not mentioned, there is no mention about their love relationship. It's like he met her, he married her, he had sexual relations with her, and they had three boys. He is still living in that shame. You know why adults act the way they do? Because there is unprocessed situations in their life. That's why they do what they do. He has three sons. I really doubt, because of his grief and this hidden secret, I doubt that he was really a good father to them. Folks, when you have this huge weight on your heart, how apt are you to sit down and say, son, let me talk to you about the grace of God and how God is awesome and how God has a plan for your life. You're too busy in your guilt. That's why people get drunk. That's why people do drugs. That's why people mess with pornography. That's why people get so wrapped up in their work or something. Work is not wrong. I work my tail off, and many of y'all do too. But if it's only to escape from some problems, that is a problem. Now here you see the result of this unconfessed sin following. Listen to Genesis 38, verse 7. Before you go there, Judah even arranges his oldest son's marriage to a girl named Tamar. But listen to verse 7. But Er, Judah's firstborn, was wicked in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord killed him. You know, the Bible doesn't tell us what Er's sin was, but ever since the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, God hadn't done that. That goes to tell you it was a really bad sin. I don't believe Judah is being the dad he is supposed to be. What happens next? Well, I got to give you some background very quickly. According to the laws back then, the culture, they had something known as the levirate marriage. Levirate marriage is this. If all the brothers or the sons are living under the same roof, then if the older brother dies, the second one is obligated to marry his sister-in-law and carry on the family line. Judah orders the second son, Onan, go marry your sister-in-law and go have a child. Onan doesn't want to do it. So guess what he does? He deceives Tamar He sleeps with her, but he deceives her and refuses to have a child with Tamar. Listen to what happens to Onan, verse 10. And the thing which he did displeased the Lord, therefore he killed him also. Judah sold his brother into slavery for good or bad intention, doesn't matter, has unconfessed sin in his life, living this dirty lie, this secret, now carries into his marriage, goes to his first son, and now to the second son. Well, let's focus on that for just about a minute. Why do you think God killed Onan? Because he did not want to have a child with his sister-in-law. You know, one reason that Onan didn't want to have a child and didn't want to have that relationship with the sister-in-law is because he was hoping that if she doesn't have a child, then all the wealth, the inheritance, by default will come to him. But what he didn't know, what he did not know, I didn't say he didn't realize, what he did not know, what Judah did not tell him, is what God had told and promised Abraham, that through you, through your descendants, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Refusing to have a child was interfering with the gospel. It was not just, I don't want to have a kid, and you know, if I just wait long enough, I'll get all the money. No, you are actually interfering with the gospel, which was what? Abraham, Sarah, your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren will be the ones who will carry the gospel to the ends of the earth. So Onan, refusing to have a child, was interfering and stopping God's plan. God says, you got to go. Guess what? The blood is still on whose hands? Judah's hands. Because I believe he never took the time to sit down and talk to his boys and say, boys, let me tell you something. We are special. You know what I mean by special? We are special because we're not like anybody else. We are called by God to take his light to the whole world. We can't live like the world. We have to obey God. And we have to do faithfully what he's called us to do, regardless of the consequences. I believe he never took the time to explain that to his children. Can I ask you a question this morning? As a parent, father or mother, doesn't matter. Do you take the time to talk to your children? Do you take the time to talk to your children? I'm not expecting you to be a Billy Graham or some theologian or a missionary. Just sitting down and saying, you know, God is good. You know why we have all what we have? It's by the grace of God. And folks, you may not have children. Find someone else's kid and talk to them. This message is not just for parents. This is a message for all of us. Find someone and say something that will encourage them to walk with God. Judah, I believe, never did that. And what happens? A second son dies as well. But Judah is still not learning his lesson because he continues his life of deception. According to the law, the third son now has to marry Tamar. And Judah is thinking, I don't think so. Because both those boys just died. I don't want to give the third one because he's going to die too. He's going to make some dumb decision and it'll be over. So guess what he does? He lies to Tamar and says, he's too young. Why don't you go home back with your daddy and mom? And when he is old enough, I will give him to you in marriage. What he is thinking is, out of sight, out of mind, Tamar is going to go back home, find someone over there. End of story, he can move on, she can move on. What he didn't realize is, your sins will be found out. Now Judah's wife dies, and he goes through a time of grieving. You know, when people go through grieving, it can either draw them closer to God or it can draw them away from God. Is that true? They get angry, they get bitter, they get frustrated with God. Listen. Sometimes they even pick up an attitude of entitlement. Because of what's happened to me, I can do whatever I want to do because I just don't care anymore. So I'm going to look at pornography, I'm going to look at mess, and I'm going to have an adulterous relationship, and I'm going to do whatever, because you don't understand. And I have had people, adults, sitting in my office, and they will tell me, they kind of pat me on the head, figuratively, and they'll say something like, oh, you're so young, you don't understand. You don't know what I've been through. I never say it such a way. I try to be more diplomatic, but I'm thinking, so this happened to you that entitles you to sin? Judah is about to do something because he feels entitled to it. What is he about to do? Well, let's back up for a second. The word gets out to Tamar. Remember Tamar, the daughter-in-law, that Judah is coming towards Timnah at the sheep-shearing time, and she decided to do something awful. What does she do? She disguised herself as a prostitute, covered her face with a veil, and she sat seductively at Enam, which is literally at the opening of the eyes. Opening of the eyes, you just picture that. That's a crossroads. She sat at the crossroads waiting for her father-in-law to come. Apparently, she knew Judah's nature. She wants to deceive him into coming to her as a prostitute. The Bible doesn't say it, but I believe she had probably known this about him. This is not his first time. By the way, even here I hold Judah responsible, because as the man of the house, if he had set the standard of righteousness high, his daughter-in-law would not be stooping so low to get back with him or back at him. And just as planned, Judah comes, notices her, and goes to her, makes a proposition that if I send you a goat, can I sleep with you? And she said, yeah, but I need a little guarantee. I need a ring, a cord like a necklace around, and a staff. And Judah's like, well, okay, well, here it is, because tomorrow you're going to get the goat and I can get all my stuff back. Judah doesn't realize things are about to get complicated. Sure enough, he sleeps with her, thinking she's a prostitute. And the next day, he sends the goat, and the people come back and say, there is no prostitute over there. Judah's response, the same old, cover it up. Let her have it. I can get another ring. I can get another cord. I can get another staff. It's okay. Let her have it. 3 months later, word comes back to Judah that Tamar, his daughter-in-law, is now pregnant. And the reason is prostitution. What is his response? Listen to this. Bring her out and let her be burned. He is so harsh. Get her out and burn her. I want to give you a quick principle because our time is up. The principle is this. What I have noticed, and you may agree with me or not, I don't know. Show me a person who is very legalistic. You know what legalism means? Making rules that Scripture doesn't even prescribe. A lot of rules about this, that, and the other. Show me a person who is very harsh, hard against some sin, and I will show you a person who is hiding a similar dirty secret in his heart. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about? Show me a person who gets angry and rages over somebody's sin. And they'll never share this with you. More than likely, they got the same thing deep inside. I mean, he's angry with his daughter-in-law for prostitution. Guess what? He is going to prostitutes. He is going to prostitutes the whole time. Some of y'all are going to be really scared. Don't from here on to condemn sins. Like, I ain't going to say nothing about anybody. Here's the point, folks. Sin is wrong, and sin has to be condemned. But I believe that every time God condemns sin, whether it was Moses or Jesus or Paul, it was always with a broken heart. Paul never said, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. I believe he probably did it. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Do you get it? Tamar is smart. She sends those three objects to him and says, hey, if you can identify this, you would know who the father is too. Just saying. Judah knows right away. He is guilty. He doesn't lie anymore. He confesses his sin. Now, long story short, Tamar had twins. And by the way, Judah never slept with her again. So it was not like, oh, it's all good. Now my daughter-in-law is my wife. No, he never touched her again. It was never done. But Tamar had two boys. The older one was Perez. And here's the beautiful thing. If you read Matthew chapter 1, the genealogy of Christ, Jesus came through the line of Judah, Tamar, Perez, all the way down to Joseph and Mary, and Mary and Christ. Now, if I was given the assignment to plan out the family tree of Jesus, I would make it so pure, so perfect. Definitely not a father-in-law, daughter-in-law situation, okay? That would not be considered worthy. Every family has a secret. Everybody's got a skeleton. And the ones who hide it, who shout the most of how pure they are the ones who really have a secret, okay? Here's my challenge to you. If you let God use you, He will work all things together for good. Let me close with this. It is really sad when adults, especially parents, behave badly. Here are some things that you can keep in mind. I'm going to go rapidly through it, but if you go to my blog site, the entire message, word for word, all the scripture, everything is there, so you can take your time and look at it later on. Number one, remember that adults in your life, parents, are fallen human beings. They are sinners just like you. It is easy to condemn them and say, how dare they? My dad was not there for me. My mom is like, hey, listen, they are just, at the end of the day, they're just like you. They're sinners. Show them grace. Don't put them on a pedestal, but always honor them. You may not always obey them, but always honor them. Don't follow their example, do follow their teachings. You know what I found? Some of the most ungodly people will give you some of the most godly advice. Don't throw it out. Follow their teachings, not their examples. Another one, remember that you are not to be blamed for your parents' choices. Sometimes kids carry that burden for the rest of their lives. They feel like, I'm kind of stuck here. Now I am the same, or I'm going to do the same. No, you're not. You live your life. You serve God. You love God. You're not to be blamed for what they did wrong. Pray for them, especially if they do not know Christ. How awesome would it be in heaven to not just say, man, I made it, but to say, my parents made it too, by the grace of God. And trust God that He will work all things together for good. I know this morning's message may not really apply to some of you or most of you because you grew up in good Christian homes. Or maybe it does. Maybe you did have that father or that mother or those parents who did not live up to God's standards and still are not. Pray for them this morning. As we go on our invitation, let God open your eyes, soften your hearts, so that you can pray for them. And if you do not know Christ yourself, that you will give your heart to Christ.
Thank you so much for joining us for this message. It's tough to know how to respond when our parents behave badly. We've got to remember that they're fallen humans just like we are. Don't put them on a pedestal. And don't fail to show them grace either. And remember to pray for them, especially if they don't know Christ. For more information, visit us online at clearviewbc.org. And for this week's sermon notes, check out Pastor Shaw's blog at abadanshaw.com.